How many here tonight are excited about God's Word? All right. We're going to get into God's Word here for the next few minutes. And the study this month is on the purpose of the anointing. The purpose of the anointing. Now, what comes to your mind when I say the word anointing? The word anointing. All right. Well, in the Old Testament, for instance, Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it over Saul's head to anoint him king over Israel. That's found in 1 Samuel 10, verses 1 and forward. He took a flask of oil, he poured it over Saul's head and anointed him, consecrated him as king over Israel. The word to anoint means literally to rub or to smear with oil. What did Jesus say in Luke 4, verse 18? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." He was quoting from Isaiah the prophet. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me." Jesus was anointed. That means that Jesus was touched by the Spirit of God. That means that Jesus was full of the Spirit of God. That means that Jesus was consumed with the Spirit of God. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, if you belong to Christ, the Spirit of Christ lives on the inside of you, according to Romans 8, verse 9. If you have made Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord, you belong to Christ. And the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of you. You have been touched with the Spirit of God. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You are consumed with the Spirit of God. And guess what? You are anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You know, one of the purposes of the anointing is to comfort those in trouble, to comfort those who mourn. And that's tonight's message. Tonight we remember the horrible thing that occurred 15 years ago on 9/11/2001, where these terrorists took hold of four planes, flew them into the towers of the World Trade Center, into a field, and into the Pentagon. Thousands of people were lost, died. Thousands of people were injured. And at that time, there were families mourning the loss. And 15 years later, it's very possible that those same families are still mourning the loss. But you know, we're anointed to bring good news to those who are mourning, those who are grieving. Is that good news here tonight? Yes. So we remember 15 years ago, right? What happened? People are mourning. There's people in your spheres of influence that are grieving right now, that are mourning right now a certain loss in their life. And you can speak words of encouragement to them. Let's turn tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4. And this is what Paul writes to the Corinthians. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." So we're going to look at verses 3 and 4 and kind of study how Paul describes God. So in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 1, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion." One translation says, "the Father of mercies," plural, to show the immensity of mercy that proceeds from God. But from the original language, the word is compassion. He is the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth is the Father of compassion. So when I say the word compassion, what comes to your mind? Does anybody here know what compassion is? All right, what is compassion? Compassion. Compassion is feeling the pain and the hurt and the suffering of another. It's feeling the pain, the suffering, and the hurt of another, and then taking the next step to relieve that person of their suffering. You know, maybe tonight you're struggling with this thought. Man, Does God really understand what I'm going through? Does God really feel the grief and the pain of the financial distress that I'm under tonight? Can God really feel the hurt I'm experiencing from this person who has separated themselves from me, who has divorced himself or herself from me? Does God really feel the grief and the hurt and the pain of the depression I'm going through tonight in my emotions? Anybody ever been there thinking if God can really understand the pain that you're going through? I'm here to tell you tonight that guess what? God understands the pain, the hurt, the suffering that you're going through. We serve an omniscient God. What does that mean? He is an all-knowing God. He knows every detail of every person of the 7 billion plus people that live on the face of this earth. And yes, here tonight, God feels the hurt. He feels the suffering. He knows what you're going through in your life tonight. Paul calls him the Father of compassion. He feels it. He knows what you're going through tonight. Say it with me tonight. God feels and understands the hurt and the pain that I go through. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I want to tell you a personal story here. About 2006, 10 years ago, I was going through a very tough time in my life. I was going through depression in the latter part of 2006. Certain things happened in my life. I went through the most severe depression I've ever experienced in my life. And I was doubting the love of God in my life. I was doubting the love of Christ for me. I was even doubting my salvation at that time. I was really hurting in my emotions. I was really depressed. And I happened to be at a friend's house in Tulsa, and there was a lady there who was a mutual acquaintance of ours. And she was a pretty rough lady. She was a pretty tough person. She was pretty mean at times. But in the midst of my hurt, in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my suffering, this lady said to me, God told me to tell you that Jesus loves you. Simple words, Jesus loves you. And that right there was the catalyst that started my recovery from that depression in 2006. It was an encouragement from the heart of God through this woman to me. God knew what I was going through. And he spoke through that lady, and it lifted my spirits. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that God knows what you're going through in your life right now. And God is about to do a miracle in your life. We serve a miracle working God. So Paul calls him the Father of compassion. In other words, he feels what you're going through, and then he calls him the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. So he identifies God first as the God of compassion, then he identifies God as the God of all comforts, who comforts us through all of our troubles. Now, this word comfort from the original language is paraklesis, paraklesis. It means that God comes alongside you in your hurt, in your pain, in your suffering, and he does something to aid you. He will do something to relieve you. He will do something to deliver you and rescue you from the pain and the suffering and the agony that you might be going through in your life tonight. Amen? So when you see that word comfort in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, it means the God who comes alongside you to aid you, to help you, to rescue you, to deliver you from the pit that you might be in tonight. Could you say amen here tonight? Amen. He comforts us in all of our troubles, writes Paul. And then let's jump down to verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 1. And he says this. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. So he's going to go and talk about how God comforted him. We were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. And many commentators And I believe that Paul was referring back to the riot that occurred in Ephesus, which is in Asia, in Acts chapter 19. And I'm going to read that real quick. Acts 19, verse 23. About that time there arose a great disturbance about the way. A silversmith named Demetrius, this is Acts 19, 23, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought in no little business for the craftsmen. He called them together along with the workmen in related trades and said, "Men, you know we receive a good income from this business. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and practically the whole province of Asia." He says that man-made gods are not gods at all. There is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout the province of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. When they heard this, they were furious and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Soon the whole city was in uproar. The people seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia, and rushed as one man into the theater. Paul wanted to appear before the crowd, but the disciples would not let him. Even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, sent him a message begging him not to venture into the theater. So Paul was at a point of death. He was in a dangerous point in his life. And I really believe that God sensed the anxiety and the fear that Paul might have been experiencing in Acts chapter 19. And the God of comfort did something to aid Paul. What did he do? What does Paul write? He said, "He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us." God comforted Paul in his time of need. He came to Paul's aid in his time of need. He delivered him from the riot in his time of need. And God can do the same for you. Amen? We serve a miracle working God. We serve a God who comforts. We serve a God who comes alongside us. We serve a God who aids us. We serve a God who helps us. We serve a God who delivers us like he delivered Paul from the riot in Ephesus. Another case in point. Luke chapter 7. There was a widow who was mourning. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. And this is proof that God feels what you're going through. God the Son, Jesus, felt what the widow was going through. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, "Don't cry." Then he went up, touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Look at verse 13 of Luke 7. It says, "When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her." Another translation says that when Jesus saw her, he had compassion for her. He had compassion, and then he proceeded to comfort the widow of Nain. How did he proceed to comfort her? He proceeded to comfort her by coming to her side and aiding her. He raised her dead son back to life. He did it over 2,000 years ago. He can do it for you tonight. Say, God is my comforter, the one who comes to my side and aids me in my time of need. In Jesus' name, amen. How do you receive the comfort of God, friends? How do you receive the comfort, the aid, the help, the rescue, the deliverance of God in your life? He's a God of compassions. He is the God of comfort, the one who comes beside you, the one who aids you. But how do you receive the comfort of God in your life? How do you receive it? How do you go about receiving the comfort of God in your life? Maybe it's financial distress, and the way God can comfort you is by giving you financial relief. Maybe it's depression in your emotions, and the way that God can comfort you is by pulling you out of the pit of depression. Maybe it's physical sickness in your body, and the way that God can comfort you, the way that God can rescue you, is by giving you physical healing. But how does God go about comforting you? How do you receive the comfort of God? By believing. Good. From the Word of God. From the Word of God. The Word of God has got to be on the inside of you in order for it to comfort you. In order for the Word of God to encourage you, to exhort you, to rescue you, to deliver you, it's got to be deep down on the inside of you. God will comfort you. God will encourage you directly from His written Word. But the written Word of God has got to be in your spirit. How do you get the written Word of God in your spirit so that it will comfort you in the time that you need it? You get the Word of God in your spirit by reading the Word of God. Not once a year, not twice a year, but reading the Word of God consistently. Every single day. You may not have time to read a lot of the Word of God every day, but read two scriptures. Read three scriptures. Get into the Word of God. Let this Word feed your spirit man. Is that good news here tonight? Because in the time that you need that word of comfort, that word of encouragement from God, that aid from God, it will come from His Word that is stored up on the inside of your heart. But you've got to store it up. You've got to be reading it on a consistent basis. So for instance, let's say fear tries to hit you. Worry and fear, tormenting fear tries to hit your heart, tries to hit your mind. And then the Word of God just comes out of your spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7. I don't think so, devil. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Let's say a major loss occurs in your life. A job loss, a financial loss, a relational loss. And you start getting really depressed. You quote and you say, the Word of God comes up from the inside of you and you say, 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. But in order for the Word of God to rise up out of you and to comfort you and to encourage you in your time of loss, in your time of grief, in your time of mourning, it's got to be stored up deep down on the inside of you. And as you store the Word of God up, as you read the Word of God, as you meditate on the Word of God, your faith in God is strengthened. How's the other way that you receive the comfort, the aid, the rescue, the deliverance of God in your life? By faith. And how is your faith strengthened? How does it grow? By getting into the Word of God and reading it like we've been talking about. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you read the Gospels, you see the miracles Jesus performed as He walked the streets of Israel. How He raised the dead back to life, Luke chapter 7. How He delivered the demon-oppressed from demons. How He healed the sick. How He set at liberty those who were captive. But in order to be increased in your faith, in order to be encouraged in your faith, you got to be reading about the Jesus in this Word. Is that making sense here tonight? Yes. You've got to grow your faith. You've got to grow your faith. You've got to say to yourself, you know what? God is no respecter of persons. The same God, the same Jesus that raised back to life the son of the widow of Nain is the same Jesus who can raise back to life my seemingly dead situation. He can rescue me. He can deliver me. The same Jesus who gave sight back to the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9 is the same Jesus who can heal my infirm and sick body. Could you say amen here tonight?
Amen.
But in order to be encouraged in your faith, in order to be encouraging your faith and for it to grow, you've got to be reading about the Jesus of the New Testament. You've got to be reading this Word on a consistent basis. The books that you read, the magazines you read, will influence the way you think. Let me say it again. The books that you read, the magazines that you read, will influence the way that you think and operate. Why not be influenced by the greatest book in the world, the Word of God? Is that good news here tonight?
Yes.
Say it with me. I am
going to get
into the Word of God on a consistent basis. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, another way to receive the comfort of God, number one, is by reading the Word. And as you read the Word, your faith is strengthened. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What honors God? What pleases God? It's faith. It's faith. That's the one thing that pleases God. Hebrews 11:6. If you honor God with your faith, what is faith? Faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside that the God who did it thousands of years ago for others in His Word is the same God who can do it for you in 2016 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Faith is knowing that you know that you know that you know deep down on the inside that God never changes, that Jesus never changes, that He's always the same. The same Jesus who did miracles thousands of years ago is the same Jesus present with you tonight to do a miracle in your life. That's the type of faith, that knowing that you know deep down on the inside, that immovable faith, that strong faith, that childlike faith is what honors God. And if you honor God with that kind of faith, God will honor you with the comfort, with the aid, with the rescue, with the deliverance, with the miracle that you need in your life. Is that good news here tonight? Another way to receive the comfort of God is by praying to God on a consistent basis. Not just once in a blue moon. And I'm preaching to myself here tonight. I enjoy reading the Word of God, but, and I pray to God, but I need to be praying more to God. We need to be praying more to God. We need to be communicating with God on a more consistent basis. Cry out to God and say, God, I'm weak in this area. God, I'm weak financially. God, I'm weak in my health. God, I need your help. I need your help forgiving this person. And as you pray to God, as you cry out to God from your heart, I guarantee you that God will answer your prayer. Amen? Amen. All right, so we can receive the comfort of God. But in 2 Corinthians, one last point. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, it says this. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Remember what I said at the beginning of the message. What did I say? Remember what I said at the beginning of the message. I said this. That if Jesus Christ is truly your Savior and your Lord, right? If Jesus lives on the inside of you, that means that the Spirit of God is taking up residence on the inside of you. That means that you have been touched by the Spirit of God. You are consumed by the Spirit of God. If Jesus is your Savior and your Lord, and you're following Jesus, then guess what? You are anointed by God to comfort others with the same comfort you receive from God to get through your troubles. You know, you might feel like you're on the receiving end only. Well, Jonathan, I'm in such great need. I'm here at the shelter. Yes, you are in great need. But guess what? There is somebody out there tonight on the streets of Tulsa that's in greater need than you. You're on the receiving end. But friends, guess what? You're anointed by the Spirit of God. You've got to start operating on the giving end. You need to start giving out the comfort that God has given to you to other people. Is that making sense here tonight? You're not here to only receive. You're not on this earth by accident. You're not a mistake going somewhere to happen. You're not on this earth just taking up space. You're on this earth anointed by the Spirit of God to comfort, to aid, to help deliver somebody else who is in need. Maybe there's somebody out there that you know tonight, maybe somebody in your family, maybe an acquaintance, maybe a friend who is mourning a loss, who is suffering concerning a loss, who is grieving a loss. Guess what? You're anointed with the Spirit of God. God has given you a mouth. He's giving you the ability to speak words. You can speak words of encouragement into that person who is suffering a loss. You could tell that person, you know what? God loves you. God will get you through this. And I believe in you. Just those few words can change a person, turn a person's life around completely. What are some of the other ways that you can comfort a person? Words of encouragement, acts of service, helping somebody in need. helping somebody in need. Maybe it's that person on the side of the road that can't change their tire. And it's you stopping, stepping out of your comfort zone and helping that person change their tire. That right there will bring comfort to a needy person. There's so many different ways that we can comfort others with the comfort that God has given to us. Maybe you've got some extra money to your name and God is speaking to you and telling you, buy that person's week's worth of groceries. And you buy them groceries. That's bringing that person comfort, aid, rescue, deliverance in their time of need. Is that making sense here tonight? There is somebody out there, remember this, in greater need than yourself. You've got a place to sleep tonight here at the shelter. There's somebody tonight sleeping under a bridge. There's somebody tonight that's going to be sleeping on a street corner. There's going to be somebody that you meet tomorrow that needs just a word of exhortation, a word of encouragement, like that lady in my life who told me, Jesus loves you. That just turned my whole situation around. And God can do it through you. Amen?
Amen.
Say it with me tonight. I am anointed,
by the Spirit
of God. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. I'm anointed to bring comfort, aid, encouragement to others who are going through a tough time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.